Between the pandemic and the rise of streaming services, movie theaters have had a rough couple of years. But Hollywood keeps cranking out awards contenders. Critic Bob Mondello is celebrating the best of 2021, and as always, his 10 best list overfloweth.
Before we talk about the best, let's talk about the business. In March of 2020, the pandemic closed down more than 90% of American cinemas. Today, most of those theaters are open again, but until the last couple of weeks, audiences have only been trickling back. Spider-Man No Way Home changed that, mostly for Spider-Man.
Can you please explain what is going on?
We started getting visitors from every universe.
Multiverse is real.
Industry analysts say that one reason Spider-Man has taken in $1 billion in the midst of a pandemic surge is that its audience skews young and male. That's the crowd least likely to avoid movie theaters because of COVID. Older audiences have been more cautious, and as a result, a lot of films targeted at folks over 25, well-reviewed, theoretical crowd-pleasers, haven't had crowds to please. What are known as event films have been doing just fine, though. With help from Marvel, James Bond, and the Fast and Furious crowd, this year's box office is more than double last year's, and the film industry analysts at Gower Street Analytics are projecting those numbers will double again in 2022, with such potential blockbusters as Black Panther 2,
Wakanda Forever!
And Thor, Batman, Flash, Aquaman, and Doctor Strange super sequels, as well as new Fantastic Beasts.
We're here to see Albus Dumbledore.
Beasts of a Jurassic sort. Beastly Little Minions. Not to mention the first of several long-awaited Avatar installments. If box office does double next year, that would get worldwide attendance back to roughly 80% of pre-pandemic levels. To get back to full strength, attendance at some non-event films, the sort critics like to talk about in 10 best lists, will also need to come back. Now, with that said, let's talk about this year's best films. West Side Story is an excellent place to start. Steven Spielberg's reinvented a classic musical by mitigating stereotypes and deepening characters.
You know, I wake up to everything I know either getting sold or wrecked or being taken over by people that I don't like.
The camera not so much capturing action as propelling it. The dancers explosive. And West Side Story is just one of three stage adaptations that sizzled this year. Filmmaker Joel Coen seemed to be channeling Hitchcock and Orson Welles with his stylized black-and-white Tragedy of Macbeth, featuring Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand as Shakespeare's murder-minded royals.
Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go, carry them, and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I'm afraid to think what I have done, LeConte, again. I dare not.
Give me the daggers.
Washington and McDormand are both harrowing. Surrounded by their filmmaker with a majestic architecture of shadows, plus sound and monochrome fury. More down to earth is the Thanksgiving gathering that Pulitzer-nominated playwright and now filmmaker Stephen Karam has arranged for the middle-class Blake family in The Humans.
To the Blake family Thanksgiving.
To the very special Chinatown edition of the Blake family Thanksgiving.
Here.
This is what matters, right here. But end of the day, everything anyone's got. One day it goes.
Well, that's a positive way of looking at it.
You should do that at a funeral.
The Humans makes its rundown Chinatown apartment so authentic it practically requires the performers to be, and they don't disappoint. That's also true of a richly imagined 1970s comedy from Paul Thomas Anderson. Licorice Pizza stars Alana Haim of the rock group Haim as a young woman in her 20s who's startled to find herself being romanced by a go-getting 15-year-old.
I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've been a song and dance
Come
man.
Come on. Ever since you were a kid. Song and dance man.
Where are your parents?
My mom works for me.
Oh, of course she does.
Yes, she does, in my public relations company.
In your public relations company? Because you have that.
Yes.
And you're an actor.
Yes.
And you're a secret agent, too.
Well, no, I'm not a secret agent. That's funny.
The kid is played by Cooper Hoffman, son of the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, and though both of the Licorice Pizza leads are newcomers, their wide-eyed, wistful romance is as relatable as it is surprising. Another coming-of-age film is surprising in a different way. The title CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults, which describes Ruby, the main character. The film cast her family with actors who are deaf and gave them such complicated, interesting lives that a guy who wants to be Ruby's boyfriend is envious.
It sucks in my house right now, and you've got this, like, perfect life, and...
What?
Your parents are madly in love. They can't keep their hands off each other, and your house is...
disgusting.
Hey, it's a home, and you all work together and laugh, and my family's not like that.
You have no idea what it's like to hear people laugh at your family and have to protect them because they can't hear it, but I can.
I know.
Coda won multiple awards at the Sundance Film Festival, as did Questlove's documentary Summer of Soul.
Something very important was happening.
Shot in Harlem in 1969 during an African-American festival that got upstaged by Woodstock, the footage sat unseen for decades.
Don't try to sing a song together. Don't wait for your neighbor, because your neighbor might be waiting for you.
Performers in their primes include James Brown, Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, Mahalia Jackson, The Fifth Dimension, Sly and the Family Stone, and dozens of others found footage as extraordinary as the performers. Another documentary barely uses footage at all. The film Flee charts an Afghan refugee's journey from war-torn Kabul to asylum in Denmark. It's drawn from many hours of interviews, and I mean the verb drawn literally. To protect his subject's identity, the filmmaker animated his story. That's seven films. The next two are about the power of relationships that develop between strangers. Drive My Car links to life-affirming effect, a grieving Japanese theater director and the regret-plagued woman hired to drive him. And Pedro Almodovar's surprisingly political melodrama, Parallel Mothers, casts Penelope Cruz as one of two women who give birth on the same day, then find their lives intertwined. Rounding out my top 10 is The Power of the Dog, a Western from director Jane Campion, which, like her Oscar winner, The Piano, has wide open spaces, a sensitive man, a cruel man, and a single mother with a child, plus an instrument that the mother practices, hoping to impress her husband, practicing that can be subverted by his brother upstairs. Not since Deliverance has the sound of a banjo felt so unnerving. 10 is an arbitrary number, so I'm just going to ignore it. Another Western, Old Henry, features Tim Blake Nelson in a redemption by shootout tale that packs plenty of surprises. Two world-class directors mined their own childhoods for inspiration. Paolo Sorrentino, his teen years in the hand of God, and Kenneth Branagh, his adolescent reaction to a family move in Belfast.
There's a house that goes with it. There's a wee garden, too.
Are you allowed to play football in that garden, Daddy?
I saw.
Seeing the world through the eyes of children also resulted in Come On, Come On, with a warm, empathetic Joaquin Phoenix, a time-bending French drama called Petite Maman, and a head trip from first-time filmmaker Edson Oda about auditioning souls for life on Earth. His film 9 Days had me waxing philosophical for a lot more days than that, and those films get us more than halfway to a second 10. Not bad for a truncated year. Now to head bravely into 2022.
Ooh, big a story.
And all the joys that Hollywood's prepared to serve up. I'm Bob Mondello. La papi tuarelle. Ah, oh no.